Hey guys, I'm Adam Rapport, and this is the Bon Appetit Foodcast. All right, it is the holidays officially, which means it's time to talk holiday parties, which means we had in world-famous cookbook author and BA contributor, Allison Roman, along with Emil Stonick, to give some advice on how to throw the perfect, but also manageable and achievable and affordable and all-around awesome holiday party. Allison talks about her new column on our Basically website called Party Tricks. Emil doles out all sorts of advice about, how much booze to put out, where to put all the ice, shrimp cocktails, crudité, all those party essentials for your holiday shindig. But before we get started, I wanted to remind you about an offer from BA that is great for a holiday gift. Our gift box includes a one-year subscription to the magazine, an exclusive tote bag, three of BA's best cookie recipes, a cookie dough scoop, a Stasher reusable silicone bag, and two score bars for the spiced snickerdoodle crunch cookie recipe in the December issue. Gift yours, or, just go ahead, get one for yourself by going to bonappetit.com/foodcast. And now, let's do this. Allison Roman, I love a holiday party.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh, wow.
This is the start of the podcast.
ABR, always be recording.
Great. I also love a holiday party.
I do too.
Oh, Emil's here. Forgot about you, Emil.
I love it.
Word on the street also, Roman, is that you have a new column for both Basically at eatbasically.com, Emil's website.
Yes.
And the pages of Bon Appetit.
It's true.
What's it called?
It's called Party Tricks.
Tell us about it.
Party Tricks. It's basically a... I know. I can't stop myself. That wasn't intentional. I see it as a non-recipe sort of idea-based way to throw better parties, to kind of encourage you to say, I can do this. It doesn't have to be like ripped from the pages of Martha Stewart. I can do one thing that's going to make my life a lot easier and hopefully this party a lot more fun.
Well, it's also, and it's not like you said, it's not recipes that you have to sit down and read out and make a shopping list for.
No.
Just kind of ideas for living a better
life. It's basically my journal. It's my party journal.
Ooh, party journal. I like that. I think, and we're going to talk about this today, about holiday parties in particular, but I think for so many of us, we make entertaining more difficult and more stressful than it needs to be. Is that
every
fair?
Every time. Yeah. I just had a party this weekend. Not to brag.
And you've partied enough to learn a few lessons over the years.
I have. And everyone said, oh my God, were you running around all day prepping for this? And I was like, no, I kind of started throwing things together around 4. And, a very casual 4-hour prep.
But years of experience leading up to that 4
exactly.
hours.
Exactly. You can't do that overnight.
No, you cannot.
It's like training for the Olympics.
Well, and you can't do that kind of casual, spending, just 4 hours putting it together if you haven't already made some kind of a plan a few days before. You don't want to be shopping
four hours before. I was.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well,
I literally just threw stuff together. But that's also the part that I like to bring up, which is it doesn't have to be this insane thing. I didn't make that much stuff. I just kind of bought a few things, set some stuff out, had so much wine.
You didn't make the wine?
No, I didn't.
Oh, we're going to get to Martini Station right now. We're going to start on the holiday party. How to throw in the new issue of Bon Appetit, Emil, what's this story called that you edited?
It is called, I didn't edit. I tag-teamed it with Sarah Jampel.
It. Yes.
How to throw a totally manageable, crazy delicious, not at all stuffy holiday party.
All right, so we're going to kind of refer to this and our own sort of life lessons. Talking about throwing a great holiday party, and we're going to start with the most important thing, the booze. You, Allison, said in this meeting the other day between Emil, me, and you that never served mixed cocktails at a holiday party. But you just said you have a martini bar.
No. I said never serve individual cocktails. I'm trying to be a mixologist at my own party.
You're not trying to stand at
suspenders, braces, bracer. Are those called bracers you wear around the shirt sleeves, that keep the shirt sleeves
up? What's funny
is
that I feel like I want to say that's a dated reference, but I was recently at a bar and it's not. They still dress like that.
Yeah. I'm just like, nice.
No cocktail that has to be individually mixed. I'm not doing that. I think that if you have a mixed cocktail, which I had 50-50 martinis, which is two ingredients.
They are
dry vermouth and gin.
So you pre-batched them?
I pre-batch them, and then you kind of pre-dilute them. My friend Robbie, who works for Plymouth Gin, he does, you know, batch cocktails for events. And I was like, oh, I should do that for my party. And he, you know, recommends that you pre-dilute with a little bit of water. And that way, when you pour it over ice, you're not, you don't have to mix.
So you're getting, you're basically able to just like take the pitcher of like pre-mixed martinis, pour it over ice, and then you've got like a martini.
Yeah, and I set out a little thing of olives and cocktail onions.
So you're serving them on the rocks, not off.
No. I literally just put that mix in a jar.
Okay.
So water, gin, vermouth.
Okay.
In a jar.
Yes.
Next to some cute little bespoke jars of olives, onions, and olive brine. And then I said, if you want to make a martini, just pour this mixture, I labeled it 50-50 martini, over ice.
But no, over ice, so yeah, they're on the rocks.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it for you.
No, but I'm saying, but you're not putting them on ice and asking people to strain that into an up glass.
No, you just literally pour it over like a glass of water, except it's all alcohol.
No, I understand what a so cocktail a on the rocks is.
Really confused.
I just want to make sure.
I understand.
In America, most people perceive a martini as being served up in a martini coupe.
Oh yeah, so that's garbage. That doesn't. I don't have those. Yeah. I think martini glasses should all be burned.
Glass isn't that burnable usually, but unless it gets really hot.
That's what I'm saying.
You can burn anything if it gets hot enough.
Emil, you're also a big batch fan. What other cocktails do you like to serve in that sort of batched fashion?
I mean, the Negroni is a super, super easy batchable cocktail. I mean, it's three ingredients in equal proportion.
And
so
they
it's
are.
Like, that's gin. So just like a 750 milliliter bottle of gin, a 750 milliliter bottle of sweet vermouth, and a 750 of Campari.
My issue with Negronis, having worked with Pam Druckerman, our current, what's Pam's title? Chief Business Officer?
Chief
Revenue Officer of Condé Nast?
Queen.
Pam likes a
Queen?
Yeah. Queen of Condé Nast. She likes herself a Negroni. There is a lot of alcohol and sugar in a Negroni. If you have a couple, you're, you know.
Well,
here's the thing about alcohol, Adam. It makes you feel bad. And
it makes you feel good.
It does, until it doesn't. But I'm saying, like, yes, a night of Negronis is bad, but so is a night of literally any other kind of alcohol if you drink enough of it.
Yeah, but as Emil said, a Negroni is one part alcohol, another part alcohol, and another part alcohol, which has all the two of the three have a fair amount of sugar, whereas some drinks like my vodka soda is very clean and crisp with vodka and
how
water.
How healthy-ish of you, Adam.
And no sugar involved. So I'm just saying certain drinks do a little bit more damage than
that. You're like a wellness blogger.
I think you're also bringing up a point, though, that is, like, you want to have, I think it's really nice if you're hosting to have, like, a pre-batched cocktail that's kind of ready to go that people can pour into a glass and enjoy. But the idea is not that everybody's drinking that cocktail all night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are bringing, you told people to bring wine. You were really specific.
One bottle a person.
One bottle a person, not one bottle per couple.
Can you guys reiterate on that, please?
Yeah, it's one bottle a person. And if you are with another person, they also need to bring a bottle. Because I said a bottle a person,
because
not a bottle a couple.
Over the course of an evening at a big party when you're there for 3 hours.
You are going to drink a bottle of wine.
At least.
Let's be honest.
Unless you're like, I'm going to show up and be at this party for one half of 1 hour and then I will leave.
I ask you,
which, like, even then, it is still the generous thing to bring more than
you
think that you're going
to
drink.
They're putting out for you. You should put out for them, so to speak. What about thoughts on type of wine to bring, whether fizzy or chilled or red or any advice?
My rule of thumb is don't bring anything that you wouldn't be happy drinking yourself.
And also don't bring anything that you would be bummed if you didn't get to drink.
Yeah, or don't bring
So bring something you like, but nothing too nice.
Don't bring I don't know who this imaginary person I am imagining who, like, has, like, a cellar full of, like, wine that they're, like, you know, saving and for years and years or whatever. But, like, don't bring the bottle that you're like, I've been waiting for 5 years to taste just a glass of this. And then, like, somebody pulls it out of the bathtub and, like, opens it and is drinking it from the bottle.
Well, we've had that. And also as a party host, when Simone and I used to throw holiday parties before our life got overrun by having a child and stuff. Mm. Someone would bring a really nice bottle, and, you know, people are coming in and just sticking these bottles at you with a bow on it. You're like, thanks, I'm going to put it over here. And then you notice later, like, oh, wow, they bought me, like, a 2011 Burgundy, and I never even tasted that. And who knows, like, one of Emil's friends drank it.
I think your social circles are at a different, I think we're talking about two different types of parties.
But, you know, that did happen to me. Belle Cushing brought a really nice bottle of, like, Cornelison, like a funky, weird pet gnat, kind of like before I even knew what that was, brought it to like my 26th birthday party and gave it to me. He was like, this is a very special bottle of wine. I was like, cool. I put it in the back of the fridge. And then at some point later in the evening, I see like three of my idiot friends standing around with mugs
being like,
full
of it. The wine is bad.
And they're like, they're like all like looking at each other really weird. I'm like, what do you guys got? They're like, this wine, it tastes like kombucha. And I was like, give me that. Like,
yeah. I mean, on the other hand, I also have had the experience where people bring wine that they want to drink at the party. And then an hour goes by and they realize somebody has already opened it and the bottle's gone.
Yeah.
And I think that that's okay. Like, you have to be prepared for that. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's a nice or an overly expensive bottle. But the idea that, oh, I'm bringing this because I really want to drink it, then get there, open it, and pour yourself a glass, and then give it to the party gods, because it's never going to...
That's just how it
it's
works.
It's just not going to be back in your hands again.
Let me ask you this, Roman. When was the last time you had a keg delivered to your apartment?
Never.
Really? A meal?
Never. I don't think that having a keg at a party makes
sense. No.
Well, I think it's almost always, first, it's almost always more beer than you actually want. Most people don't know how to operate the thing, the like the
pumping.
I don't
want that in my house.
Thing. And then
that's disgusting.
And are you going to so then you have, you're left with like a third of a keg left over at the end of the night, and then it just is in your apartment or in your house, and then you have to,
it's like a pet. I don't want to take care of it.
Oh my god,
it's gonna go bad. I don't like it.
The disdain on your face when you said that's disgusting. First of all, okay, all right.
Also, what are you gonna do? You're gonna put out red Solo cups?
Red Solo cups are the best. It's a question of which size you get, the little guys or the big guys. Anyways, I got a keg of some years ago for one of the holiday parties, and which everyone forgets.
I got that keg. Just want to be clear. Like, Adam's like, I got this keg.
Yeah, Adam,
like,
you didn't. Well,
I called New York Beverage Company.
Yeah. Adam, we should rank all of your former assistants and how good they were or not good at bringing beer to parties.
Well, Emil had worked in a bar right before.
The way
he hired the beer in those coolers
was bar none.
You made me write about it like three different times.
Yes, I hired Emil from a bar. Anyways, yes, you ordered it, got it delivered. But the problem, which I think a lot of us have, in there's that ridiculous sort of keg parlance, is that a half keg is actually what most of us think of as a full keg. A quarter keg is what we think of as like a pony keg.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, if you're going to order a keg and you want one of the little guys, order a quarter keg.
That's,
well, you can also
cute,
get
actually, if I were doing like a summer party, I wouldn't do a keg, a quarter keg.
No, you don't
keg
need
a
full a one.
Party.
Yeah, but a quarter keg's fine. It's
a
sixtel
is also, which is like a sixth of a keg.
They look more like a fire extinguisher.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of, I think that's really the size realistically.
Or just a few six packs.
Well, yeah, but then it comes down to like fridge space and whatnot.
I know.
But nothing's going in your fridge. You shouldn't be putting, and I think that's like that is a big and important point for holiday party hosting, is that you want like a bucket, you want a tub, like one of those big like aluminum galvanized buckets full of ice and drinks, or put it in your bathtub, put it somewhere, but you don't want
to get to that. But listen,
you don't want people reaching, opening your fridge.
If you have a fire escape, that's a good
place. You don't want them to, but they will, as evidenced by your friends who took Bell's fancy bottle of wine. People are going in your fridge. And that's what I was going to say. When you have a party, and we're going to go on a few tangents here, really do a tight fridge edit and freezer edit before your party, because people are going to be jamming things in there or taking things. You want some room in the freezer for as much ice as you can fit in there.
Well, here's the thing. My fridge and freezer unit is like comically small. It's maybe the quarter the size of an average. It's not a mini fridge. It's bigger than a mini fridge, smaller than a regular fridge.
Oh yeah.
And the freezer is full of God knows what. There's like, someone like gave me ground meat from an animal they slaughtered. And like, I'm not going to throw that away.
Yes, you should throw that away.
No, it's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's artisanal.
I'm with Allison on this one.
Yeah,
I'm a real freezer hoarder.
And there's just general stuff. I've, as you can imagine, I often have like many things in my kitchen that I need to freeze or use for another time. But I did clean out the fridge, but even still, it held like 8 bottles of wine.
So, Roman, you have this bathtub strategy. Talk to us about that.
Well, it was born from this reason, is that I can't put ice even in my freezer. So every person that came over, they opened my freezer to put the ice in it. And I was like, no, it goes in the bathtub. And they're like, in the bathtub? I was like, put it in the bathtub. So it goes in the bathtub, and then the drinks go in the bathtub.
So you fill a bathtub with ice.
You don't have to fill it, but there needs to be like a good base layer. My bathtub also isn't slanted, so I do like half of it.
Oh,
I stack half of it with ice, and then, you know, you do like half seltzer, half wine and beer. I also have another small cooler that I use for other reasons.
Cooler is a great thing to have.
Yeah.
So, what about the issue? Sorry, of in terms of whether it's coolers, your galvanized tub, you've got ice, having like towels around or setting a towel, beach towel on the floor. Don't you find that water gets sort of dripped and whatnot?
It's good as a safety measure, I think. And it's gonna there's gonna
I didn't
be condensation.
Think of it, but yeah, that would have been a good idea.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Last time I did that though, not this pint, but the time before I left, somebody left a bag of ice next to the bathtub, not in it, and it leaked. Under like in the radiator where next to the bathtub is, and in the morning I got a text from my neighbors that were like, is your bathtub okay, because there is a strange liquid dripping into our bathroom.
What about do you always like the one thing with like when people, and I don't know if I should be judgmental or not, but you know when people bring the re-gifted bottle of like champagne or whatever to your party,
mm-hmm.
you know they someone brought that to their party and then they're just bringing it to
if
yours.
If it's good champagne though, why?
You're
who cares?
You're fine.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I do it all the time, and so does everybody in this room, because we have all been gifted a free bottle from like a pretty nice place that maybe we wouldn't buy ourselves, but we're happy to have. There is zero problem in bringing that to someone else's party, but that is a very niche thing that almost only happens to people in media or publishing.
Right. But I mean, I think if somebody, I mean, I think it depends. If it was a gift, if I would not bring, you cannot bring the crappy bottle that somebody brought over to your house for a dinner party that you didn't drink.
No.
And then bring that over to somebody else's party. That's not okay.
Well, that happens, definitely.
But, you know, if it's something nice.
What about, before we move on to food, what about water? Do you put out water for your guests to, quote unquote, stay hydrated throughout the evening?
There was water in that martini. I told you, it was, like, diluted.
Beer has a lot of water
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, I put out soda water. I put out seltzer.
Yeah.
And if people want regular water, there's the tap.
There's the tap.
I feel like there are also several
things.
They're
not babies. They can do it themselves.
I know, but you have to remind them sometimes. It's like when you go to
those. Yeah, I make my like every hour on the hour reminder to hydrate.
I think it's... You turn off the music and you're like, everybody, hydrate. Don't drink too much.
Text your mom.
When do you have to?
I feel like dad's being made fun of here.
I am the remember at your wedding, even though I may have been the drunkest person there, I did remind everyone to hydrate.
Yeah.
Didn't do anyone any good. At what time?
Like 1 a.m.?
Yeah, yeah.
But I also think that I have a kind of a short list of, for years when people were like, oh, what can I bring? I was like, nothing. Don't worry about it. Just wine. Whatever. And when people get kind of insistent, now I'm just like, seltzer.
Yeah, always.
Like, always. Like a 12-pack of seltzer. Mm-hmm. Like another bag of ice. There are things that like you cannot have too much of.
Yes.
And seltzer and ice are pretty much those two things.
Yeah.
So like if somebody's asking, don't be like, oh, no, you're fine. Just, you know, they want to help. They want to feel like they're special.
Mm-hmm.
It's annoying when those people, when you're like, oh, yeah, actually bring this. They're like, oh, I don't know if I can. Like, you're like, why'd you ask?
Yeah, why'd you ask if you can bring something? Is that an empty offer? Don't ever say, what can I bring, if you are not prepared to make one inconvenient stop.
Bring pocky sticks.
Well, I have cases of those at home, so that is no problem for me.
All right, let's talk about food, because I think most people, you want to get the booze right, but people are like, okay, I can go buy some alcohol. I can figure that out.
Yeah, plan on
making food or getting enough food and what to serve, I think that's far more intimidating for most of us.
Yeah, don't do that. I feel like for, you know, all of us, we have a tiered system of friends that we would trust with certain things. There are a few people that I would say, okay, you can pick out the cheese. You know what to do. I trust you. Beyond that, I invite you into my home because I'm cooking for you.
Okay, so let's talk about this party you had the other night, Allison, which you actually invited me to. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome.
What did you serve and what was the strategy?
The strategy was do as little as possible.
Okay.
Have everything be out and done, essentially served by 9. I think like the stress of refilling things and cutting things, and other than, you know, the ham. I made a ham.
Well, so let's break it down. So ham, can we start with the ham?
Yeah, let's start with the ham.
I think if you're throwing a holiday party, you got to have a ham.
It was a last minute addition.
On a big cutting board in mail, you know my love of the ham. I write about it every year.
Love a
but
ham.
It's like, I want a big bone in. It doesn't have to be bone in, but like
it
on
does.
A cutting board, it's nice. And you can, the thing about buying a ham is like they're already cooked. You buy a smoked bone in ham, mm-hmm. you put it in the oven, you heat it up, you make some sort of glaze. I'll just get like some rum and some like, what's that called?
Sugar?
Jam sort of stuff.
Marmalade.
Sort of stuff. And you heat it up in a pan, maybe a little mustard in there. You slather the ham.
Wow.
Comes out, you score it, you do that little diamond thing. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. And then you put it on a cutting board with a knife and some little...
Are we talking about your ham or my ham?
Well, I'm talking any ham. I'm just talking about
ham. I'm sorry. I thought you were like, oh, can I hear about your ham? And then all of a sudden we're talking about marmalade.
This is a convo we're having. I'm just part sharing that. I think
I appreciate
it's nice to have that one thing where people can help themselves to. So you got little rolls or little mini rye breads or whatever, and some like cornichons or mustard.
It's like you were there. That is all that I did. All of that.
I also think the important thing, whether it's a ham or something else, you need something that feels like substantial food. Mm-hmm. And it's the thing that's nice about a ham is all you have to do is pay for it, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Pay for it and heat it up and put out the accoutrement. Mm-hmm. I think you can totally go, you know, in our December issue, we have a bunch of kind of like large format mains. We've got like kind of like a roast beef sort of situation. There's like, you know, you can do like a pulled pork sandwich situation if you don't want to shell out for like the whole ham. Like there are a lot of options, but you need something that people can like get some. The first thing I do when I go to a holiday party is find that thing, sit and like make myself
eat. You front load.
A substantial amount of food.
Because I've also, having hosted these parties before, like you always say that thing like, oh man, no one's eating the ham. But by 1 a.m., all of a sudden, it's gone.
The whole ham.
What happened? Somebody's in the corner like gnawing on the bone.
I saved the bone. It was, I thought the ham, I was like, oh, there's no way people are even going to eat half of this. Yeah. And then I woke up in the morning to like a basically gnawed on ham bone left on my kitchen counter.
It's like a fossil.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So let's talk Shrimp Cocktail. You wrote about that in the November issue of Bon Appetit.
December.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was your second column.
Yes.
Party Tricks in the pages of Bon Appetit. I think Shrimp Cocktail for most of us is one of those things you go to a nice restaurant, like, oh, let's get Shrimp Cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
You order it. I don't think most people serve it. So what can we give some basic Shrimp Cocktail advice?
Yeah, I think it depends. For me, it's about how many people are coming. Right. And for this specific event, I felt like there was going to be more people there than I felt comfortable like dealing with the whole shrimp situation. So I did cut one corner and I bought them shelled.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Fine. So and deveined. So but they were raw. So I poached them myself.
Oh, OK. But not cooked.
Not cooked.
So you poached them. What was the poaching liquid?
Just like a big pot of salted water with like a cut up onions and bay leaves, thyme, halved lemon.
Okay.
What else did I throw in? Some celery.
So you do that just till opaque?
Mm-hmm.
And then do you plunge them in ice water? Or
what
do you do?
No, I cook them. No, I pull them just under, and that way the heat carries over. You put them on a sheet tray so they cool faster.
Okay.
And then into a refrigerator.
I feel the same way. I mean, this is a little bit of a tangent with certain blanched vegetables, where like if you just pull, like, you know, people get all freaked out about like pulling things out of boiling water, putting them in
ice
water to cool.
Anything.
You take it out just before it's ready, it's going to carry over cook a little
bit. It's like pasta. You want to pull it before it's ready, and then you cook the rest of it in the
wet.
I'm
going to disagree with that. I think with vegetables, especially if you want to like preserve the nice bright greenness of a vegetable, you putting in the ice.
No one has ever complained about the brightness of my blanched vegetables, and I've never. I don't shock.
Have they complimented
you?
Really?
These vegetables are so green.
How many guests do you think you had, and how many shrimp did you end up buying?
I bought 5 pounds of shrimp.
What depends on size. So
and
how many,
they were
shrimp?
On the smaller side. They were smaller than I wanted, but they only had 3 options.
So how many per pound?
They were not 21/30s. They were the next size up. So they weren't that small, but they were.
Okay, so you're saying about 20 a pound?
Maybe.
Somewhere in there. So maybe you bought 100 shrimp?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, and then what do you do for a cocktail sauce? Oh, we have an issue with this.
Oh my God, I know. Yeah. Tell me about it. Basically my argument for a cocktail sauce, especially within the context of this column, which is supposed to make you feel good and relaxed and like you can do anything, not shameful if you don't like a certain ingredient, that basically you want to start with ketchup, and then from there you want to make sure it's acidic enough. So I like to use lots of fresh lemon juice. I've been known to add a splash of white wine vinegar if I'm feeling saucy.
Nice. Wow.
And then you want something spicy. And so traditionally, yes, it is prepared horseradish. But I take issue with the little bitsy thread parts of the horseradish sometimes, and I thought maybe adding something like harissa would be nice, and guess what? I was right. It is nice, and it's delicious, and you're going to love it. You don't need to add horseradish.
You have to have horseradish in cocktail sauce.
I'm
sure all your drunk friends enjoyed the free shrimp cocktail.
Hey, but some of them were pregnant and not drinking, and they also enjoyed it. So thank you. But guess what? I did put a little horseradish in there because I was able to procure a fresh horseradish root at the farmer's market. I know how this sounds, but it is a different flavor, and I like it, and I don't always buy it. And I thought,
But can I say what I think is nice about the prepared horseradish is that it has that vinegar in it already for what you were talking about adding a little.
Yeah, Emil,
where do you fall on horseradish and cocktail sauce?
You know, I really don't want to get it in you two.
No, just come
like
on. Now, what do you like horseradish and cocktail sauce?
It's not bad. I don't hate it.
I like horseradish in my cocktail sauce. I like to be very horseradishy and spicy. I had the harissa cocktail sauce, and I thought it was delicious.
Okay. What else are you serving at like a holiday party, Emil? So we have like a shrimp cocktail. We've got some sort of big roast. What else do you like in the mix?
Well, I think that the thing, and Allison wrote about this actually in her November column, and we also talked about it in this holiday party primer, but you don't need to make everything yourself.
Exactly.
There's a really nice in between where it's not something that is like fully purchased, ready to go, and is not like a labor. And that's just kind of like marinating some things yourself, whether that's like some coins of salami, some chunks of cheese, some like olives or like roasted mushrooms or something like that. Just like throwing together like a quick marinade and pouring that over something makes it feel, and putting it on a nice platter, on a nice plate.
Toothpicks maybe?
Oh, I love toothpicks.
Nothing says party like toothpicks.
You know, I think that is, you want to focus on the things that you're kind of bringing home and then gussying up. Canned fish is great for that.
Mm-hmm.
You put out a bunch of canned fish on Saturday. But
yeah,
you open some cans and then you have like some
just
utensils.
Just like some cans of bumblebee tuna?
Well, they were tins.
tins.
Not semantics, but yes, they were tins.
But you know,
yes,
some tins
from Portugal.
Nice sardines or like you know, oysters or like mussels or squid or something like that, and then put out some bread, some butter, a little bit of salt.
For his birthday every year.
Yeah. Just a cake made out of.
Well, can you mention that? Because you said bread. I think it's imperative that there is something carby on your sort of party buffet. Just for your, I'm often the guy. It's like 10:30 p.m. and I'm like, oh my god, I haven't eaten anything yet. I've just been too busy yammering and drinking, and I'm like, I just need something that I can like soak up the booze.
Well, the ham's a good idea for that reason because you're generally, because you're putting out rolls.
If you have rolls with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't have a ham without a carby thing. So that to me is two birds, one stone.
Okay. See, I like that. Chips.
I like chips. It's also really nice when you've got kind of dips and crudité to also have kind of just chunks of bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like a nice, like, you know, you get a carrot, but you're also just like, oh, I just need a hunk of focaccia or sourdough or something.
You have a great point in your party primer, although one of our readers, I forget her name, I'll have to check it out, she wrote in to let us know it's actually pronounced primer, not primer. And I'm like, I kind of know that, but I'm not going to say primer.
Nobody says primer.
I think British people do.
Well, yeah, British people
also
say garage.
They also call garage. The elevator a lift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, listener whose name I forgot, nice young lady, she was very nice. It was a nice note. We're going to say primer. But number 10, rule number 10, Emil, you say, but don't forget the veg. Vegetables are the underdog of a party spread. But what raw cucumbers lack in cheer, pickled cucumbers make up for in zip, zing, and crunch. After a few glasses of punch and the better half of a cheese board, they'll seesaw you back to balance. I like cucumbers.
I love cucumbers. Well, I mean, I also
and these are like house pickled, homemade pickled.
You know, I think that for me, this is a really great recipe from Andy Baragani here for these spicy pickled cucumbers. But I think that I have started to get a little bit away from the like mixed crudité situation and have been more interested in just kind of like almost like a mini like one vegetable salad, you know, just seasoned chunks of daikon or something, which is like a little vinegar and salt, like cucumbers like this, which are just kind of like vinegared and have some chili flake and a little dill on them. Just something that like is already itself seasoned. It's not just like a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you imagine how particular and exacting an Andy Baragani holiday party would be in his apartment?
Oh, he was probably mortified
at
mine. Yeah. Yeah, basically. I don't know. I feel like, so I agree with you on this. The only thing as a party goer that I've run into with this exact situation is your hands get all dirty.
Wait, dirty, you mean because you're picking up the pickled?
Yeah, because people say, oh, do you season your crudité with salt and lemon? And I was, and I have. But sometimes people pick it up and they're not expecting like a wet vegetable.
That's why I have my fingerprints all over your drapes.
Does dessert have any place at a holiday party spread?
I mean, my position on that, and this is also kind of like maybe cheap because I'm not a, like that, I don't bake that much. I don't like, you know, I don't crave sweets that often. So I'm fine not putting out dessert at a holiday party. And I'll tell you why. Partially is because every other, like every space that you're in from like, you know, after Thanksgiving until the new year, it's just like there are cookies, there's like sweets, there's just like, you know, cookie trays and whatever everywhere. And I don't think you really need, I don't think you need that at your holiday party.
No, I think it's a little extra. I think unless you're, I think that's more dinner party, yes. Party, no.
Yeah. I've had like two experiences. One time for my 30th birthday, I want to say, Adam Sachs and Brett Martin somehow had like 12 dozen Krispy Kremes delivered at midnight.
That's cool.
And that was kind of cute. Krispy Kreme had just opened in New York and it was like a big thing. And then another time.
Year was 20.
It was 2000 or something. And then the other time, one time at our old apartment on Barrow Street, do you remember that cream puff place called Beard Papa?
Yeah.
The Japanese place with Why is Che laughing? Our Che's our producer today, and she's like giggling.
Papa.
Like, anyway.
Because it's like a hysterical, weird thing to reference.
I love it. But we bought a bunch of boxes of Beard Papa cream puffs and then did that thing around midnight. We brought them out like, hey, guys, we got cream puffs.
Hello, everybody. Beard Papa.
People freaked out.
I'm not like other dads. I'm a cool dad.
Wow.
So I think I think the point you're making is like a good one. You know, it's like buying something is like an option if you really feel like you want to have a sweet and you want that to feel like a thing. I like the donut idea.
Yeah. I think anything you're buying or bringing is fine. Yeah, but right. I'm not
making beautiful Christmas cookies to show.
Absolutely not.
Right. I mean, one thing that we do talk about in this primer for our British friend is, you know, you can make something and kind of have it at the door for people to take home if they want. Like, if you want to make, Andy's got this. Oh, Allison.
God bless Martha Stewart because I admire the hell out of her, but like the whole like bring a little
can
gift
we
home.
Can this be the first installment of my new contribution to the podcast called I'm not gonna do that.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm not gonna do that.
When people have like the weird cellophane paper that's kind of orangish looking with a bow. And there's a little brittle, it's Christmas brittle in there.
It works for some people. Some people are into that. They want to do it. I feel like more power to them. I'm not necessarily going to do it, but I think that it is nice to give somebody something to take home.
I'd rather that you have a meatball bar at your party than peppermint bark.
Oh, just meatball. It's like in The Wedding Singer when he gets his payment for the like singing lessons he's giving, like in meatballs, and she just gives him
piano
gives him the meatballs in his hand.
I had some people text me that night or the next day saying that they took ham with them in their car home.
In their pockets.
Like, basically, yeah. And how grateful they were to have that salty, meaty snack.
I got home and I reached into my pocket and I had a handful of ham and mustard.
Yeah.
And,
delicious.
The one thing I'll say about ham, and I had this incident at my birthday, which Roman stopped by. It was kind of an impromptu birthday get together a few weeks ago where we ordered a bunch of Chinese food. And then because that wasn't enough, I asked my brother and Adam Sachs once again to show up with a bunch of Popeyes. And the amount of sodium in those two foods, plus way too much to drink, I woke up at 4 a.m. and I thought I was literally dead.
You're just like pucker.
I'm like, I can't talk.
There'd been no one puffier in the world.
Yeah. Okay, you had mentioned about cooking throughout the day and it's okay to buy stuff. Let's talk about the logistics of throwing a party, because one thing you're doing, like, oh my God, I have to actually clean my apartment, for instance. Oh, do I have enough lights? Do I need to go buy this or that? Like, there's all those things that you don't think about until you're like, oh my God, people are coming over in 4 hours.
Yeah. I think that there's a few things. There's like a general mental checklist, and I did this too because I didn't really give this party too much thought, but cups, plates, napkins.
Trash bags. Yeah.
Yep.
And then
paper towels.
Yes.
Like basic utility things.
Do you have hand towels in your bathroom, for instance?
So that was one thing that I forgot. I had put them in my apartment has a weird setup, and I store my linens in the hallway that's outside my apartment. And by the time I realized there was no hand towel, I couldn't access that. No, I meant to bring them out, but I forgot. But they had been barricaded by coats and things,
gotcha.
I couldn't reach them. And Oh, well, so I put a roll of paper towels in there. It wasn't the end of the world. I didn't let it ruin my night. Let's put it that way.
You know, and I think that that is just, like, generally a big hosting thing. It's like, you can't get hung up on, like, something's not going to go, like, how you wanted it to go, and that's just
every
like,
time.
And as long as long, as long as it's not the booze, then everything will be fine.
Right.
You know, and Zach Kaplan, Julia Kramer's husband, has like a mantra that he recites when Julia's like, I'm sorry to take her story, but when she's like panicking about like, oh, this thing didn't work out. Like, I don't know if it's not getting crispy. This recipe isn't working. What am I going to do? And he's like, Julia, it's a free meal.
He does say that at any, you're like, any party
and
or
you're
event.
Like, you know what? It's like just an important, it's important framing. You're inviting people over to your house. You cleaned up before. You're going to clean up after. Mm-hmm. They're eating food. You're like, you know, they're breaking things in your apartment.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that there's a few things that people need to remember when they are hosting, and this sort of ties back into the general ethos of this basically column, party tricks, which is generosity. And also, like, you have to kind of accept things in a way that you kind of suspend from your everyday life.
Yeah.
Like, you have to understand that things are probably not going to go super well all the time. You have to be willing to pay upfront for all of this stuff, provide extra wine, provide like a sick ham and all that stuff, and not ask for anything in return. You can't be annoyed that someone drank that bottle you wanted to drink.
Totally.
You can't be annoyed that nobody offered to X, Y, or Z.
Or you know what, like, my wife will get annoyed with? Like, the fact that someone did an email the next day to say thank you. And it's like, I get it, but you're also like, that person's probably really hungover and they got caught up doing something else. And like, I don't know.
Tell her thank you for your birthday party.
Yeah. Tell her thank you for all that.
But it's like, you know, people going out with their things. It's like, whatever. Yeah, exactly. You can't, like, you are being generous and it's like, it's not on them.
It's nice. When I think of it, I remember to do it. Totally. But if I don't, I would hate for someone to be upset that I didn't. And I offer people that come to my parties the same courtesy. Like, it's not required.
But I think it's also like, I mean, obviously that's a slightly different story, but is about managing your own expectations and, you know, whether it's what people are supposed
people
to bring
will only
or
let
how
you
they're
down.
Supposed to behave or like whatever. You just, if you want something to happen, you have to be explicit about it. If you want people to only bring sparkling wine that is not cheap Prosecco, like, you got to say, please bring sparkling wine, nothing too cheap. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if otherwise, you're setting yourself up
to be
specific.
But also, I have no problem letting my friends do things like do a round of dishes, take a load of trash down. When people say goodbye, if I think they're leaving the party too early and that they're sober enough to handle this chore, I have them take my trash downstairs for me.
Wow. Ooh, I like that.
Because I don't want to wake up and have 28 bags of bottles to deal with myself. So that has single-handedly provided me with so much relief the morning after. Like, I think everyone should employ that.
I like that. A few more things. Emil, you had thoughts about your friends bringing friends to a party.
Friends bringing friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that there's a difference between bringing a plus one who is like known to the group in some way, has some connection to other people there, but you're not rolling up with the four friends that you were at the bar with like before the party.
Someone did that, but they cleared it with me. They're like, listen, I have some people in town. You don't know them. I have to be with them. So either I can bring them or I'm going to have to not be able to come.
I think as like a general, I think if you're invited to a party, you can bring a friend, but your friend can't bring their friends.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
No.
And then you're like, wait, who are these people?
Unless it's clear in advance. And I think that that's like a really...
Right, bring anyone.
If your thing is bring anyone or, you know, you check in advance. And I feel like, you know, that is like super what your friend, the way your friend like posed that was like super respect. You're just like, you could have been like, you know what, this is actually a 12-person dinner party. And if you bring four more people...
Right.
That's going to kind of blow this up, so I'm sorry next time.
But that has been your point, Emil, is that you should know and your guests should know what kind of party you're throwing. Is this like a full-on rager, come one, come all, or is this more of a soiree, cocktail gathering?
Totally. Yeah, and I think
classy.
You just have to make that clear. And, you know, I think I have, it for a long time, was kind of didn't know how to say no to people who were, like, trying to bring too many people. I didn't know how to, and I feel like I got myself into this habit of being like kind of almost too permissive.
Mm-hmm.
And like then people are like, oh, anytime there's like a thing going on at Emil's house, it's just kind of like whoever, whenever.
It's
like
basically
whatever.
Like you're back at the co-op at Oberlin.
Yeah, but I started, you know, I started doing a thing sometimes with like a, you know, a Saturday night dinner party situation where I'm like, you know what?
Very curated invite list.
You know, it's like, oh, can I bring this person? Or did this person get invited? Can they come? And you're like, you know what? We're just going to have dinner, but they're like welcome to come at 9. Because we just don't have, we didn't get enough food. We're not set up for it, but we'd love to see them later for drinks.
Yeah, that's a good rule.
All right, well, guys, this has been fun. Emil, thank you as always.
Ooh, thank you.
Allison Roman, thanks for coming down. And we can check out your column, Party Tricks, on eatbasically.com, which comes out once a month, correct,
Emil? That's correct.
And then in the pages of Bon Appetit.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for having me.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced by Carrie Polis and Christina Che and produced and edited by Emma Wortsman. Our theme music is by Nathaniel Wortsman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us about this or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.